Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for meditation this morning comes from St. Paul's letter to the Philippians, the fourth chapter. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Please be seated. The theme of the day is rejoice, but you would think it would be natural and easy to rejoice. Rejoice because Jesus has come to earth. He's won salvation for all who believe. Rejoice, Christ is coming again soon to take all believers home to eternal life. Rejoice because God promises to be with you in evil times and in bad, even when it's really difficult to rejoice. Unfortunately, sometimes the thought of rejoicing is scandalous. It was reported on the news earlier this week in Detroit, a 35-year-old television meteorologist committed suicide, leaving behind her husband and two small children. To her family this morning, rejoicing is offensive. They're left to suffer the grief and the anguish of losing someone they deeply loved. The CDC says since the year 1999, suicide rates in the United States are up over 30% in half of the states, leaving in their wake loved ones suffering from guilt and anger and anguish. To them, rejoicing comes really difficult, especially in the season of Christmas. But this fact remains: suicide is never the answer. God calls it a sin. The fifth commandment says, "You shall not murder." Similar to abortion and euthanasia, suicide is the taking of a life that does not belong to you. St. Paul says, "You are not your own. You were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body." For those who commit suicide, we commend them to the grace of our Lord. He knows all things. He knows their anguish. He knows their hearts. He alone knows the demons that they've been battling. But those demons, Satan, he is alive and well in the world. So never underestimate his power to bring sadness, doubt, depression, and even suicidal thoughts into your life. Jesus calls Satan a murderer. He said he was a murderer from the very beginning. He is a liar and the father of lies. The devil used half-truths and lies to deceive Adam and Eve in the garden, thus plunging all mankind into death. But God had a plan for salvation. And sometimes it doesn't look like that plan is working out, because sometimes God, while he continues to create and preserve our nature, in his mysterious divine wisdom, he allows his creation to suffer. But he has not left you alone. If you suffer from doubts and fears, sadness or depression, or even suicidal thoughts, he bids you do not keep it a secret. Tell someone. Get some help. Cry out to him by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. Your Heavenly Father promises to hear your prayers. And while he can and does indeed work through divine intervention in his time and at his pleasure, he also works through the vocations of doctors who can prescribe something to take away the pain, ease your suffering, or aid with a chemical imbalance. He works through therapists who can give you coping skills to help you deal with your depression. He works through your brothers and sisters in Christ who can be there with you to pray with you and to build you up and to comfort you in your difficult times. And then if in his divine wisdom, God chooses that you continue to endure suffering, pray for his grace. Pray for the grace of God that you can subject yourselves to his good and holy will, holding steadfast in the true faith to the end. And rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice, even when it appears that the whole world is falling apart at the seams. That's the way it appeared back in the prophet Jeremiah's day. Jeremiah was sent to proclaim the Lord's coming judgment. And the first 2.5 chapters of his book, it is judgment, judgment, judgment against Judah, Jerusalem, and her enemies, but also the final judgment that God will bring on the last day. Zephaniah's prophecies are dark and lonely and even deadly of the days that are coming. But then Zephaniah announces the Lord's restoration, his plan for salvation for all who repent and trust in his deliverance. He says, sing aloud, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart. Through the prophet, the Lord is calling his people to rejoice in the face of death, destruction, and for those who live through it, even deportation into a foreign nation. Rejoice in the promise and the assurance that the Lord will take care of his people, restoring them to the joy of their salvation. Like Israel, you have God's promise. The Lord is in your midst. Those are Zephaniah's words. He says, the King of Israel, the Lord is in your midst. You shall never fear again. The Lord is in your midst. You need not fear. And if and when the Lord allows you to be attacked by sadness and grief and despair, he bids you cry out to him in prayer and supplication. Make your request known to him. Call on the God who can do all things. Rejoice and exult with all your heart. Your King has come for you, and he continues to be with you. He promises that nothing can separate you from his gracious love. In our epistle text, Paul calls on the Christians of Philippi to rejoice. Philippi is a Roman colony. It's an outpost of all the evil and decadence of Rome itself, Roman's pagan culture. Paul warns them of false teachers in their midst. And most of all, he exhorts those Christians to live lives worthy of the gospel, even while living in a pagan community. Now, it's tempting to think that it's easy for Paul to write this letter from so far away. He's not in any of that trouble. Well, the reality is, Paul is sitting in prison. He is under guard for preaching the gospel. He doesn't know if he's going to be set free or whether he's going to be executed, which, by the way, 5 years later, he was beheaded by Nero. Through a life of hardship, Paul has learned how to be content in plenty and in want, in whatever situation. When you're road is dark and your road is heavy. Paul says, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. This word reasonableness, it also can be translated as yielding, gentle, patient in spirit. When suffering loneliness and depression, gather with your brothers and sisters in Christ so that they may encourage you and pray for you, reminding you of the promises of your Lord, that while it has pleased the Lord to allow you to suffer for reasons we do not know, the Lord is at hand. He is near you. He comes to you in word and sacrament, granting you patience and wisdom and comfort. And this Advent, rejoice, for the Lord is near, coming to put an end to all sorrow, suffering, and pain. From St. Paul's prison cell, we go back in time, 30 years earlier, to John the Baptist sitting in a prison cell. John is the last of the Old Testament prophets, the forerunner of the Messiah, preparing the way for the Lord. John was proclaiming a gospel of baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. But he made Herod mad. King Herod threw him into prison for calling him out for his sin of marrying his brother's sister. And after a year of languishing in prison, John sends his disciples to Jesus to ask, are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? Biblical scholars disagree on whether John was suffering depression or whether he was merely encouraging his disciples to leave him and join with Jesus. But rather than get bogged down in that debate, let's consider what Jesus' words were to the disciples. He says, go and tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. Brothers and sisters in Christ, Holy Scripture bears testimony that Jesus Christ is the one who is to come. He is the one sent from God to be your Savior. He is the one who was to come. He is the one who has come. And He is the one who will come again. And this morning, He is in your midst. Do not look for another. He's in your midst, binding up broken hearts, comforting the mourning, justifying the unrighteousness, regenerating the dead in faith into new life, and granting eternal salvation for all who believe. This Jesus, He didn't come making demands upon you, adding to your stress and your depression. No, Jesus came not to be served, but to serve you. God became flesh not to stress you out, but to carry away all of your suffering, all of your sadness, and all of your sorrow. He came to bear your burdens and lighten your load, and to give you His rest. Being born of woman, He came and became numbered with sinners, becoming the least in the kingdom, suffering and dying a criminal's death on the cross in your stead. Risen from the dead, He has ascended into heaven, but He remains in your midst, working through His means of grace. He's in your midst in His word of absolution, taking away the punishment and the charge of your sins. He's in your midst in the preaching of His word, granting you faith and strengthening your faith when your road is dark and depressing. He is in your midst, in, with, and under simple means of bread and wine in His Holy Supper, to strengthen and sustain you when you're feeling strong, but most of all, also, when you're feeling weak and vulnerable, as if there is no escape. Jesus is in your midst, strengthening you to live lives worthy of the gospel. Brothers and sisters, rejoice. Christ Jesus has come to give you his peace. His peace is not of earthly understanding. It's not free from turmoil and suffering and wars. Christ Jesus brings true peace. It is a relationship with you and your Heavenly Father. It's peace, knowing that Jesus has made peace between you and your Father in heaven through his vicarious work of salvation. When life makes no sense at all, the peace of God sustains you and directs you. Jesus brings you true peace. That peace resides in him who is in your midst, who comes to you in word and sacrament, and who will come again to take you home to himself in the kingdom that has no end. Amen. This peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.